Hello and welcome to the Rant and Rave podcast. I'm Dave.
I'm Frank. Dave, good morning, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. Nice. It's Labor Day weekend. We are celebrating Labor Day Monday. American flags, picnics, barbecues, flyovers, going to the club, hanging out with friends, the way it should be. How about you?
Yeah, with all the nonsense going on around, it's great to see images of, oh, I don't know, life as it should be. You know, college football is back, huge crowds, people outside getting fresh air and running around. So Americans will find a way to have fun regardless of the tyranny that is imposed upon them.
Absolutely. Yeah, I got to tell you, I was just telling you before we went on air today, I went to an amazing Christian concert last night. Brandon Lake, big shout out to this guy. If you get a chance, check out his music on Apple Music. Incredible performer at our local church, outdoor concert. Just to your point, Dave, just was a wonderful way to have it as part of the weekend. So fun and open and just thanking the Lord and Jesus. And it was just a great, great family event. So awesome start.
Lovely. Well, we need the Lord in our life more than ever with all the nutsiness going on around.
Lord knows that.
Yeah. So, you know, our podcast has been doing great. We're not quite up to where Joe Rogan is. So we will get there soon.
I think we're number four on Spotify, right?
Maybe just number four.
I think Joe's number one, but yeah.
He is. He signed that incredibly massive contract with Spotify.
Yes.
I'm sure if you've not heard of him, I like Joe. I'm not in love with him. But yeah, but the story of the week, though, is, of course, it probably trickled a little bit of everywhere, but Joe Rogan got COVID because he has a lot of people come in, and he's in Texas now, actually.
Yeah. Cue the cheerleaders on the liberal side.
Exactly. So the left went, initially they go ballistic because, Mr. Whatever, because he actually has people on his show with various points of view. Mm-hmm. On the vax and what COVID's all about. So he does have which so good for him.
Yeah.
But he cleared, he's a healthy guy. He's a very fit,
Yeah.
Into the whole wrestling thing,
right?
UFC, but he took ivermectin.
Yep.
He took a transfusion, I believe, of various other vitamin C cocktails.
Yeah, the classic cocktail.
And he said he literally cleared up within 3 days.
Yeah,
and within a week he was testing negative.
Yeah, well within a week. Yeah, classic vitamin C, D, zinc, and magnesium is sort of the classic. He added in the ivermectin. He literally had a negative test. I think it was actually only 3 or 4 days. So
amazing.
Look, we've talked about this previously. I mean, the so-called surge in India. Oh, there's hundreds of millions of people getting the Delta in India. They all got ivermectin. Boom. Story disappeared. And we see this in countless places, but they don't, the whole ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, thing would interfere with the globalists' narrative around the vaccine and compelling you to do something and fear and control and so forth. So you can't have the ivermectin. It's not allowed unless you have a really good doctor.
Well, we've talked about the kind of the psychological profile of how all this meshes into everything and how the rulers up top. I mean, some people have kind of thought, well, from the very beginning, all they wanted was people to take the vaccine. Screw COVID. They just wanted you to take the jab for various reasons.
Yeah.
But you have to, of course, the left went ballistic because of what Joe Rogan did and represents, because, he's not on the lefty team.
Right.
And he cleared himself up so quickly and actually proving, hey, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin do work.
Yeah.
It has helped millions. It's been taken for decades. Yeah. And some idiot said, why are you taking something that's for a horse tranquilizer?
Yeah, it's total bullshit. I mean, just like Lord. many drugs on the market, that drug actually has equine approvals, and it also has human approvals. It has both. Right. There's a lot of drugs on the market that have approvals in veterinary use as well as human use. So that's not, but what they're trying to do, Dave, like this story breaking this morning, Oklahoma, it's the left trying to marginalize these solutions. It's like, ivermectin overdoses is flooding hospitals in Oklahoma City. Gunshot victims can't even get taken care of their gunshots. Total crap.
It's just absolute lies.
It's just so much bullshit.
It's weird how the mainstream media immediately takes this, go along with it narrative. trying to push this nonsense, and exactly like that, trying to immediately say how bad this is. And it's almost basically the opposite of reality.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, it's, I mean, it's just absolutely insane. Are we going to keep going on the virus story this morning?
Yeah. I want to know, but well, no, yeah. One thing at a time. This is such an all encompassing thing that there are a couple of real big hits. So, the big headline that I saw this week, regardless, so for a long time, they kept saying, well, we need to reach, quote unquote, 75% across
herd
the nation.
Immunity.
To reach the herd, and then we can all take a sigh of relief. Well, we're basically there.
We are.
So even the CDC found that 80% of U.S. adults have some immunity to COVID, either through prior infection or the vaccine. Now, even if that's give or take 5 or even 10%, we're basically there. So why are they continuing to pound us and another variant and another jab? In Israel right now, they are up to 4 jabs per person. And yet, so they're even more percentage wise, they're like at 90% of people that have been vaccinated, yet they're still seeing a huge amount of people getting COVID.
Yeah.
So 80%. it just shows you how fast the vaccine's effectiveness drops off.
Yeah, for sure. And I've been pushing a lot of stories out on this. So for our listeners, please check out our Facebook pages, social media, Getter, Gab, etc. I've been pushing a lot of these studies and stories out that show how effective natural immunity is. I'm living proof. My wife is living proof. We get our blood tested every other month. We've got literally rock star levels of both B and T cells. So for the non-science folks out there, basically just incredible innate immune protection against the virus. And natural immunity is where it's at because your body has the ability to adapt. And I just want to point out a couple quick things, Dave, and it's a little geeky science, but it's really important. So for example, the big Israeli study that came out recently that showed that natural immunity is in fact much, much more, in fact, about 8 times more effective than active immunity or vaccinated immunity in Israel. And about 80% of the infections that they're seeing now that are resulting in hospitalizations are from people who've been vaccinated, because here's why. So the virus itself has about 10,000 places where this thing can attach to, right? So the spike protein, which is what everybody hears about, that's where the vaccine attaches to. That's the one protein on the virus surface where the vaccine attaches to. There's about 9,500 other parts of that virus that can be attached to, variants, et cetera, et cetera. If you have natural immunity, you're covered for everything. So the science has shown this, papers have shown this. You're covered for all of those, Delta, Mu, et cetera. If you just have if you've not had prior COVID and you only get vaccinated, you're only going to be protected against that one spike protein. So you will basically not be protected against any variants. And that's why you're seeing surging cases among the vaccinated showing up in hospitals. I mean, it's completely scientific. It has nothing to do with any political or control or anything like that. And so there's total logic behind it. Now, ultimately, the hybrid of the two, active and natural immunity, you know, would be very, very good. But naturally, look, nobody should be going out and trying to get COVID, that's for sure. Right. But if you happen to have had it, having natural immunity is incredible.
Right. I think Israel, that's a great country to bring up as far as what they're doing, because they've been, you know, good for them to trying to be as careful as possible. But now, just according to their own stats, we're talking 4 jabs. So it's never ending, because you can always have, now there's the Wu variant.
Yeah.
So the important thing for people to know is that this push to get that initial jab will be ongoing for what? Forever?
Forever. Yeah. And the other PS on your point there, Dave, is that the two nations on the face of the planet with the highest vaccination rates are Israel and Iceland. They're both around 80-85%. They're also the countries with the most significant vaccinated people who are getting admitted to hospital for breakthrough cases.
So let me ask you this.
It's never going to end.
So do you think that people who have been vaccinated, they have this, I think we've talked about this kind of air of superiority and a golden, like we have, they have a golden parachute around them that protects them. So they're even more likely to get involved with big groups or be less careful in other ways, maybe?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I think that is one thing that public health officials and you know, this is one thing that they're right about, you know, are concerned about. And that is true. It's a fake halo. People have this false sense of confidence once they get those jobs, and they're like, oh, maybe I can go to this little concert. There's only 300 people there. It's indoors, but you know, but you're right. It does give a false sense of security, and frankly, it shouldn't.
I love the guys that have been on the War Room lately with Steve Bannon, just really good, interesting information about this. And the experts I've been seeing on that show over and over are saying that, you know, between the ages of 20 to like 50, he's not in favor of the vax. He said natural immunity.
Yeah.
Taking these other medicines if and when you do get it, by any chance, and that's it. So
I totally agree.
Moving on to what other countries are doing, it's not just in this. I mean, my Lord, we've the continued marches in France, so good for them. But then the latest, I just saw huge rallies, tens and tens of thousands of people against the vaccine and the passports in Amsterdam.
Right.
Maybe Australia is the worst. It's hard to compare which country is doing the most damage to their people. But so good for them. And in other words, it's a worldwide pushback.
Oh, speaking of this point? Absolutely. Well, speaking of Australia, I was just reading something earlier. You know, now that the Taliban, I know we're going to get to Afghanistan, you know, later, but now that the Taliban are controlling Afghanistan, they're going to close the churches, the pubs, the cinemas. Oh, yeah. They're going to violate and suppress live music and public protests. They're going to ban people from traveling from one town to another. Oh, sorry, Dave. I'm sorry. No, wait, I'm getting confused. That's Australia. Sorry about that.
Kabum-bum. You got me.
Thank you very much. But I mean, look, it's happening, right? I literally on Twitter, I just saw this feed come up. Berkeley now is requiring in San Francisco proof of vaccination to go into certain indoor places, restaurants and the like. So we're going to get to the same place as France and Amsterdam shortly. It's going to depend on how many places really radically implement this stuff. If it's just de Blasio and his commie bastard friends in New York City, nobody really cares. Go ahead. Basically, if you want to annihilate your entire business community in the city, go right ahead. We can go eat dinner somewhere else. But if it starts to get big, I think you're going to start to see a lot of protests.
Let's hope so. And it's so funny with this extended jab mandate, whether it's the second or third or fourth jab. But even this just hit last week, the top U.S. officials told the White House pandemic coordinator on Thursday to hold back on the plan to administer the coronavirus booster shots to individuals.
Right.
So even they're getting kind of like second and third thoughts.
Well, of course. Maybe, and we talked last week about how two top CDC officials resigned over White House meddling and interference. And we posted this story on our Facebook page. And it's bad. I mean, it's really bad. I mean, to your point, Dave, it's really simple. If you're 20 to 50 or if you're a kid, do not get the vaccine. Just do not get it. I work in this in scientific community. I work in the business. That is what I would definitely advise. We do not know the effects. I shudder when I see friends of mine getting this thing for their 12, 13, 14 year old daughters. We do not know the long-term effects. I know from women in their 20s, the effect on the menstruation cycle is profound. I mean, months and months of just constant bleeding. I mean, so these kids may not be able to have children in 10 years. We don't know.
And we're only seeing 9 months of actual real world effect of this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is January.
And by the way, people are like, oh, they're getting talk about lulled into a false sense of confidence, Dave. Most people think, oh, well, now it's not emergency use. It is full approval, at least for the one Pfizer vaccine. Let me explain something to folks. Okay.
Please.
You know, the difference between emergency use authorization and full approval. I've worked in this industry for decades, so I totally do. And I've taken drugs through the FDA. The difference in this case is literally 2 months of time and 20,000 patients of study. So for the emergency use authorization, they had 30,000 in a few months. And for the full approval, they had like 50,000 in 6 months. And that's it. I mean, it's not like it's like years and years more of data or hundreds of thousands of patients. It's not. It's just not. It's that simple. And I also posted this on our Facebook page because there's just too detailed to talk about on the podcast. But they really don't have full authorization. So the FDA did a little bait and switch. I'm not going to get into all the details here. But it truly, if you look at the legal letter of the law, it really isn't a full authorization yet. Because they wanted to be able to provide immunity to the pharmaceutical companies as it relates to potential lawsuits, but also keep distributing it. Not because if they went full commercial only, there's a bunch of laws in place then that would expose some of the companies to liability. They still wanted their immunity, but wanted able to market it, you know, in a full blown way. And so they figured out a way to do that with the government, and it's total crap.
So, and speaking of the a couple of the officials have also pushed back against this rapid approval, right? And I know we talked about a couple of them resigning. I don't have their names in front of me, but they're saying this is not correct. Though.
The two top people at the vaccine division who worked for a guy who's still there running it. And he said the day the White House interferes in our decision-making process is the day I resign. Well, that dude's still there. Okay. He's now become a Kool-Aid drinker. The two people below him that do all the work, they just resigned.
They resigned. Okay. Okay. This is important, people. And I pray really that they get to tell their story. Let's hope there's some media outlet, or if they're, you know, they might not want to be in front of the cameras to tell you the truth. Can you imagine?
Right. Right.
I mean, that's, you know, your life literally can change in one night. If you go on Fox News or you go on the War Room with Steve Bannon. Last couple of follow-ups, let's get to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
The German labor minister, I won't even try to pronounce his name, said that employers can no longer ask their employees about their vaccine status. So this is the first Western nation that has come out and said, hey, you do not have the right to ask on the vax status. So that's important. So that's why we have not been seeing these protest rallies in Germany.
Right.
They're still seeing it and obviously they're against the passports. But so good for Germany, for the labor, they call him he's the labor minister.
Right.
And we'll see if that extends to other, because you got to figure within the EU, there's going to be, I mean, how do you travel from one place to the other? They do. They're so interconnected.
It's impossible. There. Yeah. No, look, these are the liberals' walls, a la Trump's wall. Trump had the cojones to actually build a physical wall and say, we want to keep bad dudes out of our country and secure our borders. The liberals have now put up Jim Crow era walls all around us, you know, separate restaurants, separate airlines, separate hotels, separate entrances, you know, whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated. They love this stuff.
They love it.
Sick? Anything to create more and pervasive and deep divisions among the and it's breaking down, of course, basically across political lines, as you would expect. You know, and Australia is the country, Dave, I'm really, then we'll go on to Afghanistan, the one I'm really disappointed in, because it used to be kind of like Colorado, right? Before California ruined it with all its immigration into Colorado. It used to be a fairly conservative country, smart country, good, you know.
But libertarian. It was very libertarian. Yeah.
And it's totally changed. If you step outside your home to get a breath of fresh air right now, Dave, you're fined $1,000 in Australia. If you even go online and talk, not even do it, just talk about organizing a protest against the lockdowns, you're arrested and jailed. I mean, I don't know what is New Zealand. I get they are like far left libtard city. Australia, very disappointed in what's happening down there. But and I know a couple of people who live there, move there from the U.S. So all I can say is get your ass back here.
That's our good segue. Let's you go from New Zealand to Afghanistan, and because in New Zealand just a few days ago, a Sri Lanka immigrant stabbed 7 people.
So is that in New Zealand?
In New Zealand, yeah. Oh. So here they are. They have the one COVID case. They do a complete lockdown.
Yeah.
Oh, but let the immigrants from the Middle East parade around with knives and stab people.
Yeah.
So talk about priorities being asked backwards.
Well, totally. And we've been seeing that play out in Europe, France, England, all the time.
So the segue now is that we've of course transported tens and tens of thousands of these people, of Afghanis, into America.
50,000 to be precise, actually. 50,000.
I'm sure that number will go.
They're now
up
at
too.
6 military bases scattered throughout the United States. They've all come in on there's no paperwork. No visas, no nothing. I put this post up on our Facebook page yesterday. No visas, no paperwork, special presidential exemption, humanitarian purposes. Joe can just sign something and it's all fine. And now these people are going to be walking around,
embedded,
you know, at your local Walmart with butcher knives. And it's just brutal.
Yeah. And it's going to be one of those things. You're not going to see a giant thing happen. It's one of those, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there before you know it. So Yeah, let's get back to Afghanistan now, which it's going to be Joe Biden's wrecking ball.
It's Joe's Hanoi. Vietnam was a cakewalk compared to this. This is just a complete disaster.
It's a horror show, which will have decades of ramifications.
And you know, many people have now come on and said this is just an absolute permanent stain on our nation. It is. Liberals want to just run this under the Jen Psaki. Run around. I'll get back to you later. Circle back on that. They just want to get rid of this stuff and put it under the carpet and all the rest of it. But breaking this morning over on Gateway Pundit, Dave, is a story you may have seen: 6 planes in northern Afghanistan now held hostage by the Taliban. And guess who they're being held hostage by? Our State Department, the United States State Department, will not let these planes leave. They are filled with Americans. Satellite imagery has shown these planes on the ground. They are not being allowed to leave. Dave, I don't know. I'm not telling you, dude. I don't know what to say about this. This is absolute insanity.
Yeah, and I think a couple of those planes actually were paid for by Glenn Beck, you know, the radio guy who was trying to help out, just get people out of there, right?
Including a lot of Christians. Glenn sent over a couple airliners to do that, a couple 737s. And to me, it's just sick. I mean, literally one phone call. If Trump was in office, this would need, number one, it wouldn't be an issue. Number two, if it required a phone call, it'd be done. He'd be on the phone, out. You know, Joe is sleeping in his basement in Wilmington, Delaware. Who the hell knows what he's doing? You know, Kamala, nobody even knows where she is the last week. They tried to throw her under the bus for the immigration. She didn't like that. So now she's basically AWOL on the whole Afghanistan thing because it's, you know, they want to throw her under the bus for everything. But it's just insane that we have planes full of Americans. Now U.S. senators and congressmen are getting involved here to say, hey, look, what the WTF, what is going on here? Get these people off the ground. And of course, the State Department doesn't want it to happen because why? It would embarrass them. That's the only reason. It's because the private sector, like, you know how it is, David, conservatives and Republicans, the private sector is doing what the government can't do.
Right.
This is the stuff government is supposed to do. This is really it. National defense, protecting our people, etc. And they can't even freaking do that.
No. The one thing that we want them to do the most, right? So as it sits now, the shit show continues there. We've talked about how the CCP is going to begin accessing $3 trillion worth of rare earths in the country, and that they're going to, take all this American military technology, right, and figure out how it was designed and created. Oh, thank you. Give us all your best technology so we can continue to create trouble around the world. And they're already saying that there's images of American tanks and so on already being sent to Iran.
Yeah, so people, I think most people don't quite get it unless you really understand the military and how it works. Let me give you a quick example. So people like, some libtard friend of mine here in my neighborhood, total lib jerk. And he's like, oh, well, so what? They get some rifles and a few tanks and some bullets, big fucking deal. I'm like, dude, you know what else they have? They have like sophisticated aerial drones. And to your point, you take that drone, you take it apart. It's just like ripping apart an iPhone. It's just like what Samsung did with the Apple iPhone.
Sure.
You rip it apart, you reverse engineer it, and you can come up with the same thing or something even better with a few software engineers. And guess where they get those guys from? Russia, China, Iran. And look, if Iran can build a nuclear reactor, they can reverse engineer a drone. So that is the problem that I have with all this stuff.
It's so bad on so many levels. Like I said, this is going to be decades of problems down the road for what we've done. Which is, besides the money and the blood and treasure that we've left after 20 years, it's just, it's as nasty as can be. So let's pray for, the good people that just want to live a decent life in Afghanistan. But I got to tell you, I don't want them flown here.
Well, no, I hear you. And, you know, there are plenty of good people there, obviously. And obviously a lot of, good people accompanied the terrorists who were flown here courtesy of Joe Biden. And sadly, to your point, some really good people left behind. This last story just breaks my heart. Taliban terrorists over in Gateway Pundit here again. Taliban terrorists execute pregnant female police officer in her home, in front of her family, and then use screwdrivers to pick apart her brains. Sorry, folks, for that imagery. But I mean, I think that's important to project that imagery because this is savages. Who these people are. You can't reason with them. You can't talk to them. No. You can't negotiate with them. The only thing that they understand and respect is force, strength, and power. That's it.
Perfectly said, Frank. And I as a last comment on this, it doubly makes me sick that the globalists, the White House, are somehow trying to make people more, passive about what the Taliban is, as if they're the nice part of that group. So, and they're also trying to separate them. Oh, well, they're not ISIS. They're not Al Qaeda. It's the Taliban. You got to be kidding me. It's not, they're all on the same team. They're just different, different uniforms.
Oh,
perhaps.
For sure. No,
as if they're against each other.
Yeah, no, totally. And by the way, as a PS on that point, then I know we got to wrap the show, but as a PS on that point, why do you think they named the group, the subgroup of ISIS that attacked the airport and killed 13 of our servicemen and women? Why do you think they called them ISIS K? Because if they called them ISIS, people would have been, I thought we got rid of ISIS. Oh no, this is ISIS K. This is ISIS K. Like LGBTQ, FWIGK. So it's a different ISIS.
ISIS K.
Folks, I know our listeners know that's a bunch of crapola. I just wish the rest of the world actually got it, including the libtards who read this shit.
Way to go, Frank. Good stuff today. Take care, and we're going to come back with another podcast shortly.
Sounds great, brother. Talk to you soon.